Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 more days. And many were believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
May the words I speak and the words you hear be the word of God for us. Amen.
Amen.
It is the most remarkable chemical on this earth. Indeed, in the whole universe. We experience it every day as a solid, a liquid, and a gas. It has the unique property of dissolving many things to make what we call solutions. It needs a large amount of energy to turn it from a liquid into a gas, with a bigger difference between its freezing point and its boiling point, bigger than any other substance. It's essential to all life. And as far as we humans are concerned, it makes up about 60% of our body weight. So you know what to blame if you're looking out of sorts. It is often talked about using the one bit of elementary chemistry that practically everyone knows. Yes, you're there already, aren't you? H2O. Yes, it's water. And by the way, what we call water day by day is actually a solution. If ever anybody has ever tasted water, distilled water, it really is horrible. Water, the theme for today. And indeed the theme, if you've been following the Archbishop's Live Lent meditations online or in an app, you'll find that the week that we're just ending now had the theme of water and getting us to think about water and its provision and how we should be thankful for it. And so not surprisingly, water features prominently in human history, and not least, of course, in the history of God's people. Most of that history took place in dry parts of the world, where water for the weary traveller was available in places which were well known and often of historical significance. So all that is the background to today's gospel reading, which you will notice starts with travelling and refreshment. And of course, it's a reading from John's Gospel. Now, one of the tricks I learnt a long, long time ago with John's Gospel is that you really have to start at the end before you start the beginning. Because if you start at the end, in the last but one chapter of John and the last verse of that chapter, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." So that's why John is writing this gospel. And we always need to have that in mind when we look at any of the stories in John's Gospel, because they have all sorts of layers which are trying to help us to understand who Jesus is. So we can be sure, as we read today's gospel, that John is telling us a story that encourages not only those first believers in their journey of faith, but also us, all these years later. I've read this story, as I'm sure you have, many times, and I cannot escape the thought that in many ways it is quite a funny story. I don't know whether John, the Gospel writer, had a sense of humour or indeed intended anything in that respect. But at any rate, in our English translation, it strikes me that it has elements that could be made into quite a good comic sketch. And don't forget, comedy can sometimes be a very good way of putting over truth. Of course, the main theme of the story is water, but it is not long before even the word water is ambiguous. Jesus offers living water, which in the woman's vocabulary would have meant running water, as distinct from stagnant water or even well water. She cannot believe that a Jewish man who has just given her a hint about who he is, should offer a Samaritan woman life-giving water. The comedy sort of continues. "What are you talking about? You haven't got a bucket," she says. Jesus presses his offer of the sort of water that is capable of quenching thirst at all times. "I'd like some of that," she says, although she probably does not know what he is really offering. And the repartee continues as Jesus appears to change the subject. "Call your husband." "Haven't got one." "No. 5 down, but 1 to go." "Oh, well, I better change the subject again. Are you a prophet by any chance? We have this thing about which mountains we should worship on." Objection overruled. "Spirit, not mountain, is what matters," says Jesus. "And what God is looking for is spirit-filled people right now." "Oh, very interesting. Of course, one day I know the Messiah is coming. He'll explain all that complicated stuff. Phew, let's not go too far with this." And then there's a pause. There's no way off the hook. Jesus holds her gaze and says straight to her, "I am. I, the Messiah, am speaking to you." Well, that really is the end of the interchange between them, because the woman suddenly realizes that there's no more conversation to be had. Action is what is called for. She rushes off to the local town where she lives. Sower and reaper are about to rejoice together. As she rushes to the village, leaving her bucket behind, and before long, many people have begun to follow Jesus. Many Samaritans, foreigners, believed, and they say to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." At this, the woman might have been a bit offended. After all, she had been their messenger. But they add, "For we have heard for ourselves." The necessary development of moving from accepting Christ as the Saviour of the world because someone else speaks of him, to the point where we are grounded in our own conviction, is a very important and significant element in our Christian journey. And it's not always an easy one. However we came to faith, the influence of parents, grandparents, other relatives, teachers, a caring and thoughtful pastor, a friend, through music, through a book, through pictures, through a decisive experience, a crucial meeting, a time of stress and pain, a youth or student group, or we simply grew up in the faith. We became Christian because someone or some experience echoes the story of this woman at the well. However it happened, there came a time when we moved on. It's not that we saw flaws in what we'd received or we'd been given, though we might have. It is not that we branched out radically differently, though we might have. It is that we made the message our own. We made a commitment, standing, so to speak, on our own feet. We have been like those Samaritan villagers who said, "It is not because of what you told us. We know for ourselves." And notice how that group of Samaritans describe Jesus. He is Saviour of the world. Not my Saviour, not the church's Saviour, but Saviour of the world. Of course, the author of the Gospel, John, is looking back to an event that happened some 60 years earlier. Perhaps with much telling and retelling, the writer and his church have smoothed the details of the story. But we should deeply respect this woman who might have been at the well at midday when no one else went because respectable people shunned her. In the midst of that repartee between her and Jesus about cups of water and drinking the water of life, about her husbands and her places of worship, Jerusalem or Samaria, about styles of worship and the nature of God, the words challenge us come through. God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And despite the disciples' horror that Jesus consorted with this foreign woman, think what she has grasped about Jesus. It might have seemed that she went back to the city thinking only of her own relationship to Jesus. "He's told me everything I know." That is about her husband's. But no, she had grasped the significance of Jesus far beyond her own needs. She had seen enough to enable the many who came out from the city to say, "We know he is the Saviour of the world." Knowing Christ for ourselves does not mean knowing Christ selfishly. Christ is not ours, nor the church's. He is the Saviour of the world. Throughout history, the church has been strongest when God's people have shared the passion of God to take his message to the whole world. Sharing not only a personal message, but proclaiming that the way of Christ is the hope of all the nations. There is always much to be done. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give. The living water thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. Amen.